Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Women to Watch is an intimate look into the lives of prominent and influential women leaders from around the world and the challenges they faced on their journey. It's the real story behind her title. Join us every week to hear more stories about women from around the world and in your own communities at womentowatch.net. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Women to Watch. I'm Sue Rocco. Thanks so much for being with me. Joining me in just a moment will be Allie Griswold. And Allie is the co-founder and CEO of Main & Company, which is a canned cocktail company that she runs with her brothers. Really interesting family background story. And she talks a great deal about her grandmother, who started her own company back in 1982. Don't forget to stay with us during the breaks, where you'll hear from our exclusive watch team of corporate partners. As always, I'd love for you to subscribe to our YouTube channel at Women to Watch Media. So now I'm very honored and excited to welcome to the show Allie Griswold. Allie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
It's great to have you. You know, I have to say off the bat, when I was doing my research and homework on you, it seems very apparent to me that you have been ambitious and leading from a very young age. When I look at your education, high school, Penn, UVA, throughout sports, you know, leading. You were an ice hockey player. I don't know if you're still doing
that.
Yeah.
I actually play on two teams in New York now.
You do?
Yeah.
That is so incredible. Fun. Yeah, that's so impressive to me. Polo as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I do all of the niche sports, it turns out. Ice hockey, sailing, polo.
Oh my gosh. That's ice hockey in particular is clearly, you know, unique, historically a male dominated sport. So I just wanted to ask you, you know, where does that drive come from in you?
Yeah, I think I've been competitive from a very young age, which I've learned over time to channel into healthier ways than always wanting to win. I think that came from growing up with two brothers and fighting for your space in things, to then a focus on the team and that it's really joyful to be part of a team and build something together. And I think that's something I learned through sports, is I was always drawn for the most part to team sports. Ice hockey was the first one where I actually started playing figure skating or doing figure skating. And that's a solo sport and you're doing your thing, moving around the ice, which is wonderful in its own way. But I saw my older brother who was part of a team and getting out there and hustling and growing in a different way. And I wanted that. So after 1 year, I think, of figure skating, I said, I quit. I'm doing hockey now.
Wow.
Get moving skates and let's go.
Yeah. You know, I would say not every, that program is not available everywhere for women and girls. Where did you play?
In Philadelphia suburbs area. And I joined boys teams for the beginning.
You did?
I just, Yeah, just the teams that my brother was on, I would hop onto when they needed someone. And it wasn't until high school that I played on a women's team where I went to Hill and they had a really robust program there.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. I know that, you know, I always talk to my guests about mentors, role models, people that really just believed in them and had an impact. And your grandmother is obviously was a big influence in your life. And just for our viewers who may not know, she founded Griswold Care. It might have been Griswold Home Care.
Yeah, it was Special Care, now Home Care. Yeah.
Yeah. In 1982, which is it's so impressive because it was a time when women were not viewed as entrepreneurs and were more kind of in the behind the scenes. So, and I've read about your grandma, you know, and Jean. Tell me what you remember most about her. What was it about her personally in your relationship that you miss?
Yeah, she was an absolute force. And I think what was most impressive about her is she was incredibly determined to find a way, even when it seemed like there wasn't one. And Griswold Special Care, as she started it, now Home Care, was a great example where, on top of being a female entrepreneur in a time where there weren't many, she had multiple sclerosis and was in a wheelchair herself. And that was actually the inspiration where she looked around and saw a problem that she knew wasn't just for her, of needing non-medical home health care when you're going through, either as an elderly person, the parts of aging, or as a person with a disease, a debilitating disease. And so I think it was for her saying, it's not easy, but something needs to be fixed here. And I see it for me, but it's much bigger than me. And that's why I'm excited and motivated to go do something. And that's what I grew up hearing, that story and seeing her. And she never believed that there was something she couldn't do. And even as she was in her 80s, didn't want to stop working, didn't want to stop leading. And she had a true force. But she paired that with a really beautiful, loving support of us in particular. And so I always felt like she was in my corner. And when you first saw her, she said, what's new with you? What's going on? And she really listened and she wanted to hear. And she cared really deeply. And so to have that unconditional love too, from a young age from her, and then paired with her fierce determination. And she was very, very fierce. She told me at one point, which I found hilarious, she said, you can never fire someone too soon. If you know you're going to fire them, it's probably too late. I said, oh, okay, that's a little crazy. But she said, it's actually a kindness to do. Like, if you know that you're going to, don't keep them hanging on and don't drag everything else down. And so now I reflect a lot on the difference between nice and kind. Right? Mm-hmm. It's something where nice is outwardly and it's superficial and it can be important at times, but kind goes deeper. And it says it's actually caring about people and sometimes doing the hard things to care about people.
Yeah, I love that. And I would actually call her a visionary when we look at what's happening in the world today.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's, I have a guest coming up next week that's in the home care. She's actually invented something from a technology standpoint for people that are caretakers. So it's a very relevant topic and so necessary.
It's funny, I kept finding my way to healthcare to some degree in ways I never expected, where even at McKinsey, when I joined, they said, what do you want to focus on for your consulting career? And I said, consumer and POP, which is organizational behavior and all these things. And then they said, well, we have this great team in the healthcare space and we think you should join. I said, okay. I spent over a year with that team, which is very atypical at McKinsey. Normally you bop and you bop and you bop somewhere else. But as soon as I got in the hospital and I saw the change that you could create and the impact it had on people's lives, I was like, oh, I'm in this deep. And then at Wharton, I studied healthcare management and I got in even deeper because I just found it fascinating. And that's something I definitely learned from my grandma. I was like, this is a way to help people at large scale, to really help them through it. And at Wharton, we learned home health is the future. As remote patient monitoring gets a lot better, as people want to stay in their homes longer, like she saw something decades and decades ago that now is the boom of the healthcare industry in our future, particularly on the non-medical side, which is very interesting, where she said it doesn't have to be doctors and nurses. Sometimes you just need a person who cares who's there, who can help you.
Yes. And I'm sure back then, you know, years ago, the type of institutions that the elderly were going into were not, you know, what we're seeing today. Thank God.
Yeah. Community is so important.
Yes.
Too. And they've done a lot of studies on the blue zones of people that live longer on average, the geographic zones that do that. And multi-generational is a big piece of that, but also having a purpose, having your community. And I think that's something that home healthcare lets you do, to stay in your neighborhood and stay close to your people and have that.
Yeah. What traits of your grandmother would you say you inherited?
Yeah. I think the care for people at broader scale, right? I think I get a lot of passion and joy of how can I impact not just the people in my direct circle, but a much wider range. And that motivates and brings me a lot of joy. I think the second is the fierce determination, which my brothers may say is a good thing and a challenging thing at times. At my birthday last year, my little brother gave a toast and said, "Allie always believes there's a way when none of us think there's a way forward."
And that's a great trait. Yeah, that's optimism, right?
Yeah. And a determination to say, over hell or high water, we're getting to where we want to go because it matters. And that's how we can create change and help at all of these things.
Yeah.
And so I think I definitely have a bit of her feistiness and determination.
Yeah. That's really beautiful that you can carry that, you know, through the next generation. So as, you know, as an entrepreneur, can you talk about the beginning when it's the scariest and you have an idea and then you find the courage to actually follow through? By the way, your brothers are a part of your company. So I want our listeners and viewers to know that. From what you just shared with me, when those downtime, I'm sure there's times where you think, oh my gosh, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it with this company? Particularly in the beverage and spirits industry,
it's very crowded, laden with intense regulations and constantly changing government policies. It's funny because it's one that seems very desirable because it's fun and it's cocktails and it's wine, all these things, but it's at the core operations and regulation management.
Right.
And it's a lot of slogging through that.
Yeah, it's not always glamorous, right? You know, entrepreneurs will say that a lot. It's not to say you're an entrepreneur sounds really great, but the actual operations and work is not glamorous.
And what I've learned is actually you want it to not be glamorous because that's actually where the biggest change is. And the things that are the most alluring and appetizing, that's where tons of people flock to and try and change. And that's amazing. Lots of energy, but it's the ones that are underserved and underappreciated and actually really hard that most people will give up before they get to the end is where we actually need to put our time and attention. And that's where we as a business too have refocused on Pennsylvania, which is one of the hardest states to operate in from an alcohol perspective. It's a control state, a former Quaker colony, insanely regulated. You have the PLCB, which is the state-run organization that, as we all know, fine wine and good spirits, sometimes neither, is the predominant way that we get products in Pennsylvania. But you lose then the amazing small family-run wineries and distilleries and cocktails. And so it's actually something we've pivoted to say, let's not do national distribution, but let's focus on our home state and Pennsylvania and go really deep there and find a way to bring not just our own brand and our cocktails, but partner with these small, amazing family-run wineries in France, in Italy, that would never get their products over here otherwise because it's an impossible state to enter and you need help. You need a support system. And that's something we're empowering these other family businesses is a huge motivator for us because family-run wineries sustain. So many family businesses can't get past the third generation, but these wineries are at like 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th generations of family history and legacy in agriculture, preserving the land.
Right. Let's take a step back to the idea.
Yes.
Why the mimosa in a can?
Yeah.
And I'd love for you to share where the name of the company came from.
Yes. So the name of the company was inspired by my grandmom. It's a family name from her side and also my middle name. And I remember I have a little second cousin who at one point came up to me and said, "You're Allie Maine and I'm Maggie Maine. And that means we're related." And she was probably 5 at the time. I was like, that's so sweet that we have this shared identity and this shared history that brings us together. And so that was our way of honoring my grandma, but also the spirit of family and family businesses and the ways that it connects us there.
Okay. So the
mimosa. So Maine & Co. is my second startup. The first one I did was Athena Club, which is body care products. And I love the idea of building things and kind of going from start to finish. And I kind of paired that with my love of mimosas, which have a celebratory angle to them, which says, like, we are here for a moment to share together. And it doesn't have to be on just special occasions. It can be bringing that fizziness and that buzz and that life every day. And I was living in New York at the time and was making my own mimosas with fresh squeezed orange juice I would get from the local produce stands, these amazing small batch Italian wines. And I took them everywhere, from picnics to dinner parties, to the park, on the subway, schlepping everything. And that kind of became my thing. But then I was like, this is so hard to take the carafe of juice and the bottle of wine, and I'm trying to mix it on the go. And I saw a lot of these canned cocktails coming out, but none really focused on the quality of the wine, the fresh organic juices. It was kind of like, how can we create something mass scale and just get it out there, like the seltzers, right? That, you know, have their own purpose, of course, but weren't the same care and ingredients that I was making at home. And so I went to my brother, Scott, who had been brewing craft beer for like a decade, and said, what would it take to put a really good mimosa in a can? And he said, well, what's the alcohol percentage? How do you make it shelf stable? What's the ratio? What's the wine? What's the juice? Some really good questions.
And well, how do you make it taste good coming out of a can?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's got to be the hardest.
How do you fight the perception too of the can, where people naturally associate with just lower quality? So how do you have those little details, which for us is like the matte finish and the gold foil and the custom artwork on the label, that signals to people like, this isn't your run of the mill, you know, $2 seltzer. This is something different, something special that was crafted with love and specificity of the supply chain too, because again, like, the wine matters. And we work with this cooperative of small farmers in Italy, about 400 small family vineyards, and all multi-generational, sustainably grown, these wonderful things. And we want to support them instead of, you know, the big companies that are just cranking out as cheap as they can wine without the heart behind it.
Yeah. Listen, we're going to go into our first break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the first company. This is your second startup. So you know, Athena is important to mention. It was a startup for women that you did in college. Am I right? You started at Penn?
It was after McKinsey.
After McKinsey.
Yeah, okay. A friend of mine from McKinsey, body care products. We started with tampons, which is a much needed space for innovation, and then expanded to 14 body care products.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to go into our first break, and we'll be back with Allie Griswold.
Hi, my name is Christy McCaffrey. I'm the founder and owner of Be the Good Media, and I'm here to share some good news with you. Today, I wanted to share with you about a woman who is truly doing meaningful and impact-driven work in her community. Her name is Corinne O'Connell. Corinne is the CEO of Habitat for Humanity Philadelphia. And as CEO, Corinne and her team work to make sure that every person in our city has a decent place to live. I was truly inspired in speaking with Corinne on my show because it was just so clear how passionate she is about making a meaningful impact in her community and in the lives of those she serves, not just today, but for many more years to come. You can hear more of my conversation with Corinne at bethegoodmedia.com. And there you will also learn more about how Be the Good Media helps to amplify impact-driven missions and causes. Again, I'm Christy McCaffrey. Stay tuned here on Women to Watch Media for more good news.
As a female-led organization, you have to bring it every single day. We're a mashup of sort of right and left brain. So we're not just doing management consulting. We're not just doing creative services. We're not just producing an event, but we're bringing a comprehensive solution to our clients. And because of the way we approach it, we end up being bought into what it is that we're doing in a way that we truly have as much skin in the game as our clients do, whether it's bringing affordable internet to communities across the Caribbean, or it's helping Comcast with their Internet Essentials program, which is something we've been very proud to work on, or it's helping the NFL celebrate their centennial season by getting 1 million people to give at least 100 minutes to causes they care about, or helping the city of Philadelphia win the World Cup. So what's next for us? Well, we just hit just over 100 employees. I think we are at that tipping point, and I don't think there's anybody that does it better than we do. I'm Maggie Wilkinson, CEO of Athena Global Advisors, a company that is proudly based in Philadelphia.
Ladies, I'm Tiffany Kurgan, a financial professional with more than 25 years of experience serving successful women, families, and businesses. Here's the reality. You don't have to be the one managing your family's finances to take ownership of your future. But if you want true confidence about how everything is going to play out, you do have to take part in the process. That doesn't mean digging into the weeds of your finances when you don't have the time or desire. It means elevating your awareness of your own circumstances. It means having the bigger conversations so you're empowered when you need to be. Let's bring confidence to your family's future without overwhelming your time. Call myself at 903-520-2709. That's 903-520-2709. Or visit Johnson Financial Group on our website, www.jfg.cc. Not .com, www.jfg.cc.
Hi, I'm Dawn Zier, CEO, board director, and executive mentor to Fortune 500 executives through my work at the EXCO Group, firm of experienced CEOs, board directors, and global business leaders who offer real-world experience to help organizations and senior leaders grow. Today on Leadership Watch, we're going to talk about being in the driver's seat of your career. No matter what stage you're at in your career, you need to grasp that you are in the driver's seat. Understanding from day one that you and you alone are responsible for your career is critical. After all, why would you hand your career over to someone else to manage? There's no one as vested in yourself as you, and the ugly truth is that most managers are focused on execution rather than team development. So how can you ensure that your career stays on track? First, make sure you have a clear set of agreed upon goals that are measurable, and if priorities shift, rewrite them with buy-in. Two, if you see something that can be improved upon or automated, don't wait to be asked, just do it. This is good advice for tech-savvy millennials and Gen Zs who can help lead the way with AI. Three, don't insulate yourself. Get to know other parts of the organization and network both internally and externally. Feel free to drive outside of your lane. And four, while your career is yours to own, don't go it alone. Identify sponsors and mentors. Also, it's important to make self-reflection and self-assessment a habit. Think through where you want to be 5 years from now and create a roadmap for yourself. Does your current path get you there? Are you passionate about what you're doing? Do you feel challenged? Are you learning? Do you feel respected? And importantly, are you a cultural fit? And is the company a cultural fit for you? If you answer negative to any of these questions, it's likely time for some course correcting. Please follow me on LinkedIn at Dawn Zier. And if you're a senior executive looking to grow in your career, check out expoleadership.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined this week by Allie Griswold, and Allie is the co-founder and CEO of Main & Company, a canned spirits company, I'll say. Mm-hmm. When I look at your career and your success, you founded Athena Club in 2017, mm-hmm. So prior to Main & Company, and what was the aha moment for that? Was that a project? For some reason, I thought I read that there was a school project that led you to actually start it.
So it was a friend of mine from McKinsey, and we were just talking one day, you know, in the office about how tampons have not changed in over 50 years. And it's something that there's all these misconceptions.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
About and actually government regulations that are not supportive of, where you don't have to disclose the ingredients. A lot of them put chlorine bleach in there, and there's just no innovation. It's been the same. And so that was where we said this is a product that has a huge impact. It goes into the most absorbent part of your body, and that women, most women, particularly around ages like 16 to whenever, need. It's such a regular,
and haven't questioned it probably, right? Haven't questioned it from a health standpoint.
Right. And there was a lot of taboo around it, which thankfully is shifting. And we wanted to be part of that shifting conversation of talk about it. Talk about what's in your products and with your friends and what works and what's new and what's the difference between organic and regular and what's a menstrual cup and all of these things that just weren't in the zeitgeist because it was deemed inappropriate and taboo. And even tampons are taxed as a luxury good, which is the craziest thing I've ever heard. And Rogaine's not. And so that just goes to show the decision makers of these laws over a long period of time and what's prioritized.
So, and I would say that's another very relevant topic, women's health and women's products and lack of research, lack of research that is done in the medical field for women.
And we, it wasn't. Until 1993 that you were required to include women in medical studies. That's insane. That's the year I was born. So that should have been happening way before.
Yes.
That. And they're like, oh, it just wasn't relevant. That's your population. I think it's relevant.
Yeah, it's relevant for sure. Yeah. I wanted to share a quote. You were interviewed for another podcast, I believe, and you were talking about the flexibility and how flexibility is so highly crucial for an entrepreneur. Yes. Tell me why.
Yeah, I think you can have the best idea going in and a detailed plan and a really good sense of things. And on the ground, you just learn a lot. And you can't really learn that until you actually create it and do it and have the conversations and dig in and get your hands dirty a little bit. And so an example with Athena Club, for instance, is we started with tampons because that was a clear area that needed help and needed change. And we thought we're going to stick with tampons and lean in for 5 years, maybe 3 to 5 years, and like really go deep in a single product so we don't distract ourselves and all these things. And then we listened and we kept hearing from our customers like, we want the same type of thing, which is high quality, reasonably priced, where we can trust the ingredients that go in it. Also for our razors, for our natural deodorant, for our vitamins, for our face wipes, for all of these things. And, part of us wanted to just hunker down and say, no, we're going to do what we said we're going to do. And like, this is our map. But at one point, you have to drop all preconceptions and say, what do the people we're trying to help most want and need? And take the time to listen to them. And then revise as you go along, because there's so much that comes out, both in what you see works and doesn't work. And that's been a huge lesson of mine as a perfectionist, to not say it's a failure every time I learn something doesn't work, but instead to say, thank God we figured this out. And let's learn this as quickly as we can. And sometimes as painfully as we can, because that's when you know it's time to pivot. And for Mane & Co., we learned this in 1,000 different ways, where when we first went in, I said, again, let's focus on mimosas and get national distribution. Let's partner with like a Target or somebody and just crank that out. But then as you realize state by state, it's incredibly complicated. If you're not on the ground, you don't get the traction. And instead, I just said, let's try only Pennsylvania. Let's try working with wines and not just cocktails. And let's just keep pivoting. And we've probably pivoted like 100 times. Our motto is we will not be deterred, which says every time we fall down, we get back up. And it's a luxury to keep trying. And for us to have the energy and the motivation, the passion to keep trying, you need that. But also to have each other to say, like, in the times when you want to give up, when existential crises of will this business exist keep you up at night, to have people that are in there with you. And we say, no, we're going to make it. Yeah. And sometimes that's me. Sometimes it's Scott. Sometimes that's Nick. Like, we all have to take our turns being the one that says, no, we got this.
Tell me about your relationship with your brothers. I think that's unusual. Having done this show for so, so many years, I can't say that I've interviewed a lot of women that work with brothers. There's been some family businesses, but how does it, what's the dynamic? What role do the three of you play?
Yeah, I think through this, I feel doing a family business has been the most meaningful and the hardest thing I've ever done. And hard in really different ways, right, than even Athena Club was, which was two co-founders actually who are a couple. So that was complicated. But it's challenging in that you have a personal relationship that's very deep and very important, not just to you, but to your family unit. And then you also have a work relationship. And you have to be careful about not letting them bleed, but recognizing that there will, of course, be overlap. And it's something our parents were actually a little worried about in the beginning, is like, is this going to ruin our family Christmas that you guys are going to have some blow up? And we said from the beginning, our friendship is always going to be at the top here. And we want to be lifelong close siblings and not let this be a wedge between us. But it's also been one of our greatest assets. Of at the times that it gets tough, that maybe like you would want to say, it's too hard, we can't do it. You look at the person across from you and say, I love you so much and I want to build this with you. And so like, let's get back in and figure it out. And that's where we do, right? And those bonds run a lot deeper than you're a fun person to collaborate with. But it's like, we want to pass this to our kids.
Yes.
And that's a whole nother level of motivation.
Yeah. Tell me, when you think about the vision of the company and your ability for when it becomes extremely successful from a monetary standpoint, in what ways do you want to give back? What are causes that are important to you that you'll feel, excited about being able to contribute?
Yeah, absolutely. So one that we've been exploring is microloans for women in developing countries to start their own businesses. There have been so many studies that show it's like, you can give them the meat or you can give them the cow, right? And the cow lasts a lot longer. And it's shown that women, even with a few $100 startup capital, are able to create these thriving, sustainable businesses that go on for years and support their families. And all they need is the seed to start it. And that's something that I'm deeply passionate about, not just for the startup side, but particularly for women, to say, like, this is the backbone of our societies and people who are day in, day out stressed. How can I get food for my family? How can I make this work? Like, the level of emotional distress that comes from that is like, if we can alleviate that by giving them not just a one-time relief, but a sustainable relief that they can count on and grow. And the data is amazing that shows it works, it lasts, and it lifts up communities.
And then you watch the growth of a community. You know, one woman gets the help and then she is successful and she hires, right? And then
And I think you learn so much by seeing examples, right? That was clear for me from my grandmom as I saw her, and I had no question in my mind that I could do anything I wanted to do. And I think for women to be able to see that too in their community and say, oh, she started something, I can start something.
Yeah.
And it becomes contagious.
Yes. Allie, tell me what has in your life, what has been difficult for you? Because we talked a lot about a supportive family and your grandmother. And I always think it's important when we share our stories to talk about the things that have been a challenge and that perhaps you've overcome or it's still a challenge for you today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what's been a challenge for me is there has been some subconscious bias and unconscious bias, I think particularly when I was in the consulting space, of women are meant to be a certain way and you're meant to kind of go with the flow and be easygoing and all of these things. And I've always felt like I don't want to conform to that. Mm-hmm. But when you're in a structure that's kind of pushing it, you find yourself falling deeply into it. I had one client who told me, he said, you know, I think you would look more professional and people would take you more seriously if you put your hair in a ponytail instead of having it down. Or who said to a partner, why are you bringing an 18-year-old here to advise us? And at the time I was 23, which I guess is not that much older, but it's something where I think when you look younger and you look very benign in certain ways of like non-threatening, it's like you're constantly then told, you know, you have to be the easygoing one. You have to go with the flow and not shake things up in that way. And it was amazing. I had a conversation the other week, actually, with one of the first female partner elected to McKinsey, which was in 1978. Incredible. And I was sharing some of the stories of what still happens now. She's like, this is crazy that this is still going on.
Can I ask you, are these experiences, these moments in cover, are they with older men? Different generation?
Middle-aged. A little bit of a different generation there. But I think it's really interesting, too, when you even look at the research of, like, women are expected to be both warm and competent, whereas men are only really expected to be competent. To be
they don't have to be nice or kind.
To be successful leaders. And there's a great study that the Harvard Business Review did, and it's basically detailing a case of somebody doing networking. And in half of it, they use the name Heidi. And in half of it, they use the name Howard. And then they have people rate on, you know, how great of a leader they are. And Howard gets unbelievably better results just by being Howard. Right?
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. I've heard studies like that where resumes come through. And the name on the resume gets more attention, if it's
And you think we do live in a world where there's been so much progress. Like my grandma was the first woman to study business at Rutgers. And now you look at Penn, for instance, when I got my MBA, more than half the class is women, right?
Yes.
So I think the start of the funnel is really strong. But where it chips away is there's still unconscious bias that comes through. And even sometimes, like, you're on a call and people will assume one of my brothers is the CEO, not me, because that's the default. Or people automatically use a he when they talk about a leader, not a she, or not a he or she.
Yes. I think it's going to take a long time to, because it's been so long that view has been in place, that to reverse that is for women to do it and prove it and kind of change the mindset of what a leader is and what power looks like, right? So there's feminine traits that we have naturally that actually are so much more powerful than aggression.
Yeah. And emotional intelligence and all of these things. And I do really feel we're getting to see more archetypes of women, of like the strong but bubbly. And then, the strong and firm, right? Like, we need that. Whereas men, you may see the quiet CEO and then you see the aggressive CEO, and they both are respected and revered. And for women, for a long time, you had to try and make yourself as masculine as possible to be an effective leader. And thankfully, that's changing. And it's great to see it changing. And I do think growing up with two brothers too, like I never had the intrinsic belief that's like, because I'm a woman, I can't do anything. I was like, what are you talking about?
Like, Move over.
Yeah.
Move over.
So it was shocking to me at times when I was in a corporate environment and these things started happening. You're like, whoa, no.
So how do you address that now? If there's a young woman, someone from your generation watching, how do you address it? What is your kind of go-to or tip to deal with that kind of bias?
I think the first piece I do now is to understand that it never comes from a bad place or ill intention, right? It's just a series of lenses and compilations that come together. So to not say I resent this person for it, but to try and get under the iceberg and say, like, is this coming from something deeper? Are they just really stressed about this project, or like something else is coming up? And we can have a conversation about that. So I think one piece is to recognize what comes across at the surface level may not actually be the intentions of it. So to be understanding and patient in the intentions. The second is to really feel like we have so much agency in our lives. And to say every day I show up and I communicate to people how to treat me and how to see me based on how I act and how I view myself and how I show up into a room, and to just keep chipping away at that. And it was, early in my McKinsey career, somebody told me, I said, if you show up to a meeting and you only answer questions about the data, they're going to think of you as a data analyst. But if you show up and you ask them questions about high level strategy, they're going to see you as an advisor and a peer. And that's your choice, how you show up in the meeting. And so to really feel that agency of, I can look at all the external circumstances and say it's this and it's that, but I get to decide how I show up in every room. And it's amazing how people do respond to your energy.
Yeah.
And you get to show them how to treat you.
Allie, that's really great advice. That's being open-minded, right? And not reacting emotionally, seeing the situation for what it is. I think that's really wise advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And to say, like, it's a journey. Life is a journey here. And sometimes our biggest challenges are the best medicine and the best directional signals of what we want to change. And for me, it's been really important to mentor women. And I actually have a current student at Wharton in her MBA program, Alex, who I brought on, and she does a few hours a week with us. And it's been such a joyful thing for me to say, here's everything I've learned and can share with you and want to help you as you think about if you want to go do a startup, if you want to go back to consulting, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, that's just,
I bet you learn from her, right? Absolutely. I think it's always
absolutely
a two-way street.
Yeah.
My last question for you, do you have a retail space? Do you have a corporate office? Are you all kind of managing everything from home, doing a hybrid? How's the company function?
Yeah, so we're a hybrid now, but we're actually in the next year going to establish a few retail spaces.
Okay.
Which will be really fun, particularly as we expand our portfolio to the cocktails and the wines.
Okay, good.
To find new creative ways. And we've even thought about different partnerships where we've partnered with Anthropology in Philly, for instance, to do pop-up shops. And so, like, how can we use spaces that already exist that kind of surprise and delight to say, like, oh, like, sip a cocktail as you shop and then, you know, purchase and take it home with you.
By the way, my last comment, your Instagram page is stunningly beautiful. So
thank
who's
you.
Ever doing that?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's you.
No,
it just feels so nice. It's, you know, all of the photography, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, we have a wonderful intern, Virginia, who came to us from Wake Forest and said, after she graduated, she said, I just want to stay involved in any way. Please, what can I do? And I said, the Instagram. We'd love for you to keep doing the Instagram.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
But listen, I appreciate your time, and we'll be following and sharing your information, and I wish you continued success.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much. A joy to be here, and I love what you're doing and telling these stories. So important.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to go into our last break, and I'll be back to close out the show.
Children's Hospital of Philadelphia has long been ranked as one of the best children's hospitals in the country. In our Women to Watch at CHOP series, we'll meet the women working to preserve this best-in-class pediatric innovation. Let's meet Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, Sophia Holder. Sophia, just take a minute to kind of introduce yourself to our guests. Tell them a little bit about where you came from and how you ended up in this role.
Yes, and thank you, Susan, for just the amazing work that you do to inspire women leadership. I would still call myself as new to CHOP, started just over 3 years ago, and I'm honestly in my dream job in an organization that is focused on delivering and innovating care for children. And so it's hard not to find joy in that space. My career in healthcare spans many years, starting in the adult side and now on the pediatric side. And I'm just really thrilled to be with you today.
What advice would you have for our listeners and our viewers listening to you today?
So I would offer two pieces of advice. Focus on continuous learning. Be a life learner. That's the frame that I often use with those who work with me and for me. Stay updated on industry trends. Continuously seek opportunities for learning and growth. Knowledge is power in any leadership role. I think the other piece of advice that I would give is model authenticity. Be authentic and true to yourself. Authentic leadership builds trust and loyalty among your team and your peers, foundational to building effective teams and supporting cross-collaboration and partnership.
Thanks so much to Sophia Holder for joining us. Stay tuned for more Women to Watch at CHOP.
We are CHOP, and we can't wait to show you around. We're the nation's first children's hospital. Now, a care network with more than 50 locations that continues to expand. Three state-of-the-art research buildings with 1.5 million square feet of space. We have grown from 12 beds 165 years ago to nearly 600 beds and one of the best children's hospitals in the world. We have a level one trauma center, 11 floors of patient units, more than 20 operating rooms, first of its kind delivery unit for babies with birth defects, a separate cardiac operative and catheterization suite, and places to learn, like our internationally recognized simulation center. We have trained generations of leaders in the field of pediatrics. We are world leaders in medicine, surgery, and science. One of the top recipients in NIH funding for pediatric research. In this building, pioneers in CAR T therapy, mitochondrial disease, brain tumors, hyperinsulinism, and other rare diseases. Here, groundbreaking work in fetal surgery, genetics and genomics, and neurology. In our newest building, leaders in social determinants of health, clinical informatics and epidemiology, autism, trauma and injury prevention. Our patients come from every state and 115 countries. Meeting these challenges requires the best and the brightest. We are passionate about pediatrics. We are motivated to make a difference in the world and in our community. We are a team. We are CHOP.
That's it, everyone, for another week of Women to Watch. Thanks so much for being with me. Next week, I'll be joined by Shauna Sweeney, and Shauna is the founder and CEO of Tender, which is a tech home care company she started when she found out her father had Alzheimer's. Thank you so much to our sponsors and Watch team, as always, for helping us to bring you the show each and every week, and I will see you next time.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.